I've been looking forward to this day for some weeks now. I'm greatly honored by what you've done this morning. Dan had called me probably a year ago and talked about naming a room in the chapel after me as a memorial. And I told him that I had nothing to do really with the chapel or any of these buildings, that he had led the effort here with you to get all of these buildings done, and that I thought if there was anything we could do for the property, on the property, that it might be more appropriate since I had something to do with getting the property. And so I think this is very appropriate, and I'm very appreciative that you've done this morning. It will honor me for the rest of my life, and I'm very grateful. Trinity is, I was so glad, not at first when I was told I was going to be appointed here, because I knew Dean Martin and his influence here and his great ministry here, and I knew it was going to be maybe a hard patch to hoe, but as it turned out, it was really the best appointment that I could have had. And the 6 years that Jean and I were here were wonderful years, getting to know you and working with you and being a part of what has happened here. You've done a marvelous job. You're a great congregation, and I want to applaud you. The scripture lesson is part of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that during our time together now, you may lead us. Help me to say that which is helpful, and help this congregation to hear something that will help them this week. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I heard about the world's most troubled tramp. He knocked on the door of a house, and when the lady came, he said, "Ma'am, could I have a drink of water? I'm so hungry, I don't know where I'm going to spend the night." In the cartoon Tiger, the little girl asks Hugo, "Hugo, when are you going to grow up and be an adult?" And he answers, "First, I've got to go through purgatory." And she said, "You mean puberty?" And he said, "The same thing." In Arthur Miller's play Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman says, "Once in my life, I would like to own something outright before it's no good. I'm always in a race with the junkyard. I just finished paying for my car, and now it's on its last leg." And his wife says, "He works for a company 36 years this March. opens up unheard of territories to their trademark. And now in his old age, they take away his salary. For 3 weeks now, he's been on straight commission, like a beginner, like a nobody. And in this life, isn't it clear that we have troubles? We have troubles growing up. We have troubles with our health. We have troubles with business or a job. We have difficulties in family. We have difficulties with money. We have difficulties. It's been said life is a series of ambushes. Carl Sandburg once wrote, "Life is like an onion. You peel it a layer at a time, and often you weep." The poet wrote, "Never morning wore to evening, but some heart did break." This was written by Arthur John Gossip, great preacher of another day, whose wife's untimely death sent him into a bit of a tailspin. And he wrote a very famous sermon about that occasion entitled, "But When Life Tumbles In, What Then?" In the face of trouble, some of us collapse because we feel there's nothing we can do. We cannot take it. Some of us grow cynical and abandon our faith. Some of us fall back on self-pity, and some of us grow hard and stoical, gritting our teeth. But there must be a better way, and let's see what that might be. First, let's consider that more than sorrow and pain and suffering can come out of our times of trouble. One of the analogies found in the Bible is that of the ancient refiner's fire. For example, in 1 Peter 17, there's the analogy between refining gold by fire and of purifying our faith through the fires of persecution. Those were the days when the Christians were being persecuted by the Romans, and there was a lot of suffering in the church, and they needed to make sense out of it. And so the author said, "In this you rejoice," meaning a reference to the resurrection, "though now you suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable, is tested by fire, and may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The author is trying to tell those persecuted Christians that you can get through this, the resurrection's coming, and you have faith, and you can live successfully through your persecutions. As the refiner's fire brings out the gold, so our troubles can bring out the very best in us, if we only have faith to believe that, and trust it, and try it. For example, when Edward Wilson was a student at Cambridge, he was known as a most disagreeable man, a bitter tongue, lashing out at everybody. But when this same Edward Wilson was later to become the physician on Captain Scott's expedition to the North Pole, to the South Pole, excuse me, there he became known as the peacemaker, an entirely different attitude, an entirely different man. Captain Scott wrote of Edward in their final hour as they lay dying in the snow, "If this letter reaches you, Edward and I will have gone out together. We're very near the end now, and I should like you to know how splendid he was at the end. He was a peacemaker. He was one who cared for everybody on the trip and gave them hope and courage." It does indeed make a difference how we see our times of trouble. They can defeat us, we can defeat them. They are not only occasions for sorrow and suffering and pain, they are also like the refiner's fire. They can bring out the gold that's in all of us. Also, when trouble comes, remember that other people that you know have come through trouble without being defeated by it and without giving up and becoming cynical. Sometimes when trouble comes, we look around us and we say, I'm not as bad off as he is or she is. I know lots of people who are worse off than I am, but that's not what I'm suggesting right now. I'm suggesting you find somebody who has come through their troubles successfully. One evening I received a long-distance call from a lady in her 60s whose daughter had died when her daughter was 30. This lady's mother had been an invalid for many years and was now deceased. Her sister-in-law was an alcoholic. Her husband had been difficult to live with and in his later years had to be put in a sanitarium due to his mental and physical illness. And her son was ill, and now she was calling to tell me that her sister's daughter, granddaughter, in her 20s had committed suicide. And furthermore, her own house, in which she lived alone in a large city, had been robbed, and she had everything taken. That's a lot of trouble for one lady. But I'm telling you about her because through it all, she came out to the other end of it successfully. And every time I think of her, my whole life takes on a new meaning and a new feeling about my troubles, because she went through it successfully. I can go through it successfully too. And you can too. So now we've said that so far that we have looked at our troubles as a refiner's fire. As a fire refines the gold, so our troubles can help us to be better people. Also, when trouble comes, we can look around and find someone, or maybe more than one, who've come through it successfully, and let them become our spiritual partner and find out how they did it and let us learn from them. You must know somebody like that. This brings us to one more source of our strength. In the midst of our trials and our tribulations, the most important thing is God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You can depend on it. God is our refuge and strength. Those who wrote this poem were well acquainted with grief. How long, O Lord, how long? Wilt thou forget me forever? Said one of the psalmists. How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? I'm overcome by my trouble, says the psalmist. I am distraught at the noise of my enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked, my heart is in anguish. Another psalm says, by the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. And finally, what Jesus said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Trouble ever present, but a recurring theme rising like a range of mountains in the midst of the Vale of Tears and the Valley of Trouble. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. We do not know for certain who wrote the 46th Psalm. The circumstances behind the writing are unknown to us. We have scholars guess this and guess that. It might have been the invasion of Sennacherib of Syria, or perhaps inspired by the deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians in the 8th century. Some scholars connect it with the 3rd century BC during the wars among the successors of Alexander the Great. Maybe it was occasioned by an earthquake or a flood or by some terrifying internal struggle within the soul of the psalmist. We don't know. We cannot be certain what caused the writing of this great Psalm 46. But whatever it might have been, the writer was able to affirm boldly and without hesitation, God is our refuge and our strength. Whatever it might have been, the writer was able to overcome it and affirm that God is our refuge and strength. And there's a recurring refrain in this psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We do well to remember that this psalm was written long before the time of Jesus Christ. The psalmist's knowledge of God was only through the law. And you and I have the advantage because our knowledge of God is through the life of Jesus Christ. By every measure, we should have the advantage over this person who wrote Psalm 46. Because you see, we know God through a human life, the life of Jesus. He knew God through the law. We know God through Jesus Christ. Is Jesus God with us? He came to bear our sorrows. He's acquainted with our grief. And through him, he has promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ. And the implication is that we can also, if we are in Christ, as Paul put it, if we are in Christ, we have the ability to overcome all our troubles. All our troubles. During World War I, John Sutherland Bunnell, who preached for 25 years at a Presbyterian church in New York City, Bunnell was in the Army. And he was stationed in France. And in that war, the soldiers were sometimes stationed in the homes of people. And he and some of the other soldiers were stationed in the home of a widow woman in a small French village. She had 4 sons. 2 of them had already died in World War I. A 3rd son had returned from battle completely destroyed in mind and spirit. Then one morning, the message came that her 4th son had been killed in action. That evening, that same evening as he was returning home from the battle front, Bunnell noticed somebody kneeling at a shrine of Christ there on the roadway. As he came closer, he realized it was the woman in whose home he was staying. He dropped to his knees beside her, and he says, together, we prayed not to the symbol of the Christ above, but to the merciful and crucified and risen Christ, who knows our sorrows and who is acquainted with our grief. You've heard, I'm sure, of Harry Emerson Fosdick, one of the great preachers of America in a former day. He was preaching in Inverness, Scotland, during this same war, World War I, during the time when the battle was fierce, the battles were fierce, and many of the people in this congregation had sons who were in the war and were dying at the front. It was one of the darkest days of the conflict. A great offensive was on. Scottish regiments were in the thick of it, he said. And he said, the only time that I nearly lost it in the pulpit was that morning when that congregation stood and sang so that it nearly rocked the building. God is our refuge and strength. A very present, in straits, a present aid. Let me start again. God is our refuge and strength. In straits, a present aid. Therefore, although the earth be moved, we will not be afraid. Life is a series of ambushes. It's like peeling an onion. You peel off a layer at a time, and sometimes you weep. But let us always remember our resources. Let's remember that our troubles bring out the best in us. Or maybe I should say it this way, our troubles can bring out the best in us if we are able and if we're willing and if we allow it. Our troubles can bring out the best. There's somebody around you who's gone through trouble successfully, and we can get close to them and let them be our spiritual brother or sister. And then finally, the greatest of all, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present aid in trouble. Let us pray. Dear God, we are your people, and we know that you are our Father in heaven, and that you sent your Son to earth to give us salvation and to show us the way through our lives, through trouble, and through anything that comes our way. And we're grateful. Help us as a church to understand this. Help each of us to rely upon your help, the help of others, so that our troubles will not overcome us, but we will overcome them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.